It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 675. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype at miketechshow, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code miketechshow for your free 15-day trial, or just go directly to instanthousecall.com and remember to use the promo code miketechshow. Tonight's show, I have to give you a foot update because it impacts my recording schedule. Then I have a couple questions and some comments, some things that I'm working on, and then three emails and comments on all you can eat tech support. My thoughts, and I know I'm going to get a lot of feedback on that because I completely disagree with it, and we're going to talk about two people I personally know that have went out of business now because of it. So the foot. You know, this has been hanging over my head. I have the fifth metatarsal Jones fracture on my left foot that happened in the beginning of May while I was in Atlanta. Just walking around. There was no traumatic event. Just it happened. I've obeyed a lot. Yes, am I walking too much on it? Possibly. And the boot has definitely helped that. The bone growth stimulator that I've been using for the last 4 months, I thought was really helping because I've been almost pain-free. It hasn't been hurting. Well, I go to the doctors for my appointment on Monday morning. They take an x-ray, and I'm confronted with an x-ray that looks almost identical to the day I walked in. There's been no improvement. Now, my options are stay with a boot on my foot for the rest of my life or surgery. I do not want to disrupt the holidays and being in a hospital, and then I know what it's going to take when I come home. So the surgery is scheduled for, of course, a Thursday, January 10th. And it's a same-day procedure. But when I'm home, I'm going to be confided to a bed for 2 weeks. The schedule as it stands right now, I'm going to obviously recording tonight on December 13th. I'm going to record on the 20th, and I'm going to really try to record on the 27th, the couple days after Christmas. I don't see any problem with that. Then I'm going to do a New Year's Eve show on the 31st. Now, the next show after that will not take place till probably January 17th. So I'll do a Facebook post or a tweet on my status and what's happening between the 10th and when I'm going to go on the air again. I got to shut it down for a couple weeks, and I'm not really allowed to walk for 6 weeks. So I just wanted to give everybody an update what's going on. This is positive going forward. I mean, any surgery, of course, there's risk, and I really didn't want to have to go under full anesthesia and have an operation, but I got no choice. And if this doesn't work, there'll have to be a second surgery where they're going to put a permanent plate in my foot. There's a gap on the side of my foot and the bone, and it just won't close and it won't heal. Now we got to put a screw in that through the bone in that area to kind of help it put in place so it can heal. That's what's going to happen. And now I got to rearrange my entire life and my business. I'm not going to be able to go on site. Thank God I got Instant House Call and I'm able to remote in to clients. And I have my son that can go on site and take care of things. So I'm going to do as much as I can after just shutting it down for a week or so where I'm not going to do anything. I'm just really going to be living in my bedroom. So I'll be doing a lot of binging, probably watching TV and be on the phone a lot. And then I can see myself with like a, and I'll report on this probably the first show back, where how do I make my portable office functional from a tech perspective from my bed? I have one of those laptop trays that I can put so I can have my Surface Pro. I'm already planning and going to rig a good surge protector, you know, so I can be charging my phone, charging stuff. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to have my wife and kids help me literally organize the bedroom so I can live there for a couple weeks, because there's going to be a splint on my foot that I'm not allowed to remove. I'm not allowed to shower, so it's just sponge baths. And then I have an appointment already scheduled 2 weeks out from that where they're going to look at it, remove the splint, and then I go back to the boot. And then I got to go home and stay off it. Now, I'm going to try to get permission to be able to at least come down to here to my main office. So I'm hoping that I can be able to do some shows then. I'm not going to be able to attend BNI for 6 weeks. I had to request medical leave. There's so much now that I'm dealing with. So that's done. Let's start with, I have a client that bought a new iPhone and he's in Florida. And I can't believe Apple has not been able to help him, but I think I know what the reason is here. He's got, I think, an iPhone 7 and he just bought an iPhone 8. Now, his iPhone 7 has all the music that he ripped on it, but it's synced to an iTunes that's back here on a desktop in Pennsylvania. Now, he's going to be in Florida for a few months, sort of semi-retired. I was talking with him. Apple was, I can't believe, no help to him in getting his music transferred. Now, I have a program called Touch Copy that when he comes back, he's keeping both phones, and I'm going to try to transfer everything from the one to the other. Is there a piece of software that can properly transfer all of the music from one iPhone to the other without using iTunes as any kind of a go-between? And that's what I'm putting out there. If anybody's done this, where you have an older iPhone that's got all the music that he ripped, and you want to get it all off and get it back into the proper location and onto the newer iPhone. Can't believe Apple was of no help to him. That just surprised me after the expense of going and doing all that for the iPhone and spending all that money. And he's a Verizon customer for his wireless plan. So throwing that out there, I would like to know. And then we're going to have a Mac email question later on in the show. Working on this Saturday, a big email migration for a client. So I've got all the prep work done, and Friday night, I'm going to change the MX records. And then Saturday morning, my son and I are going to be on site with one of the individuals from the company, and we're going to be exporting all their mail. They host their own Exchange server, and I'm going to export all the email to PSTs. I'm going to upload them to the temporary area that SureWeb provides, that then we can match them to the accounts. And then behind the scenes, they will get imported into the Exchange server. And then we'll leave Outlook running with the new profiles on all the systems, and then everything will come back down. Then next week, we're going to migrate and add the encryption service for all the employees. So it's a big project that's going to consume some time. And we'll talk about that after that's all done, some of the gotchas. There is one thing I am so glad for doing this before. There is a command line that you must run on an Exchange server to disable auto discovery on the Exchange server. And then you put an auto discover A record in their DNS. So when Outlook or any device is trying to set up for Exchange, it'll go to the proper IP address and not try to go to the internal server. I got caught in that a few years ago doing an email migration where I was migrating from an Exchange server, and that caught us. And I was shocked that the email provider at the time was Smarsh, was of no help. And I had to find that on my own. And I remember sharing it back then. And I remember that incident so that when I did another email migration like that, I was like, ah, there's the command line that I need. And I dug that out again this Saturday morning. That's going to be the first thing that I'm running on the server. And then once I got that done, now I can start exporting everything. Well, actually, we'll export everything first. And then I'll start getting the, then I'll run that command. Then we'll start setting up the new profiles. So lots of things to do. Got to worry about permissions, who's sharing whose calendars and everything, and got to work all that out. Any distribution lists, any distribution groups, going to have to make sure that that's all taken care of. So there's lots of little things you got to think about when you're doing an email migration. Big project. Let's tackle some email. So the first one is from Dexter, who wrote, "Hope your foot is healing." Well, I just updated that, and it's not. Thank you for asking. "I have a question about a Mac for a customer, since I do not get a lot of touches on Macs. It is an iMac 21.5 mid-2011. It's running OS 10.14, 2.5 gigahertz i5, 4 gigs of RAM, 2 slots used, a 500 gig hard drive with 299 gig free. After the unit has been started a while, it gets really slow. I'm thinking processes or damaged OS. Customer cannot get a new unit presently. If this was a Windows PC, I would recommend a new PC stuff, new PC stuff. As much as RAM as possible, add an SSD, reinstall the OS, apps, and data. What are your thoughts and input? Also, is the Apple Store an option?" Since it's 2011, the Apple Store is not an option because it's out of warranty. Here's what I recommend it. First, let's do the easy, low-hanging fruit. Run the free Malwarebytes for Mac. Run it to see if it's got any infection. He did that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for Onyx, O-N-Y-X. It's a great utility. I've talked about it. As a matter of fact, Dave Greenbaum mentioned that way back when I had him on and we did an all-Mac show. I'm going to have that link again because that's important for running the diagnostics and the maintenance scripts to see if there's a problem with the hard drive or just tuning it up and then seeing. So he's going to do that next. If that comes back and doesn't help, I'm going to recommend, Uncle Al mentions about a heat issue. Yes, it could be overheating. So there could be a problem within the system. I'm going to recommend that he tries a new OS. So you would use Time Machine and get a good backup of all the data to an external drive. And then now you have to, there's lots of great websites to instruct you on how to build a bootable USB Mac OS X. I have one with OS X Mavericks. And then I think we got CDs or DVDs for OS X Lion and, you know, some of them. But Mavericks is a little older. Putting a new OS from scratch certainly can't hurt. And then laying the data back down from Time Machine, if that doesn't, there could be a hardware problem that could be slowing it down. And since it takes time, definitely heating. Now, I don't recommend someone who doesn't have the Mac experience to open up one of those Macs. I know exactly which model that is. And you want to take it to a Mac shop that works on out-of-warranty repairs. I am very fortunate that I know someone like that who put the SSD in my system, who saved my son Ryan's iMac and put an SSD in when his hard drive died. That is would be my first recommendation if it's something hardware, because now they can make sure, is there a real hardware problem and doing some serious diagnostics. Uncle Al makes another good point. In the room for the hard drive. Now, I'm going a step further than what he just put in the chat. Where is the iMac located? And is there enough area for it to cool off and vent? Are there things slammed around it or whatever? Because we definitely have a heating issue, and it could be the graphics card. Now, I know there are certain graphics cards that were recalled. That's something else, Dexter, as you listen to this, you want to take a look at the detail of the hardware and see if there's anything that's been recalled from that model, because now it's possible you may leverage Apple to do something, but 7 years old, that's going to be very, very hard. So you're probably looking at out of warranty work. And I'm sure there are Mac shops near you that you would be able to recommend. I understand budget's a problem, but now we got some things to do that are very inexpensive. And let me know what you found or if anything's working or not. I'd love to share it with everybody else. This is from Pilot Phil. This is very interesting. When you check for updates in Windows 10, it makes you a beta tester. I have a link here that now Windows 10 has CB&D updates. What is Microsoft smoking? That's the article. This talks about all the different rounds and types of Windows 10 updates. And one of the things that I did notice this, when you check for updates, you're now saying, I want to be a Microsoft guinea pig. Give me some of those extra updates. Now, sometimes you have no choice. Like when we just put an Office 2010 on a newly installed Windows 10, we have to check for updates and get whatever we get. So we got to get all of those Office 2010 updates. So I don't mind doing that in the beginning. But now if you go check for updates and 18.09 is lurking, you're going to get it. And that happened to me yesterday. So I'm at my biggest client and I'm in the engineering section where they just got two new Dell workstations. When I say workstation, we're talking high-end Xeon processor, 32 gigs of RAM, NVIDIA Quadra, terabyte SSD, M2, NVMe drives, kick butt workstations. And they came with Windows 10 Pro for workstations. There is a difference. I didn't have enough time to do some research, but on the next show, I will outline the difference between Windows 10 Pro and Windows 10 Pro for workstations. There are actually some really good things if you're in an engineering environment that makes that important for optimizing performance for certain software applications like SolidWorks and AutoCAD. My client works with SolidWorks and SurfCam. So one of the things I noticed when I checked for updates, 18.09 started coming down and I quickly paused it. So here's what we're going to do going forward. We have a couple critical engineering workstations that just can't get the updates as Microsoft pushes them on Patch Tuesday. So we're going to pause the updates for every 35 days. But every like 30 days, I'm going to manually apply the updates off hours. So this way it's in a controlled environment. They're not running anything. And we got three workstations like this. And I'm timing it so my son and I can do this because I'm taking care of the servers and in a controlled environment. So this Friday night, the first Friday after Patch Tuesday, I do the server updates. So now we're going to add the engineering workstations to do updates manually so they don't impact the engineers while they're working. This is crazy. But I recommend reading this article that I will have a link. And Philip, thank you very much. This is from Israel. Need your help. Hi, Mike. Longtime listener. Love your show. I have a Windows 10 issue I wanted to run by you. I have one Windows 10 station. All my other stations are still 7 due to application incompatibility. That has Office 2013 standard installed. For some reason, it has a problem opening PowerPoint and Word files saved in Windows 7 machines. Both are 2013 standard home and business. It is specific, but annoying enough. I tried it on a VM and it appeared on there too. So it's the machine itself. I searched the problem on the internet and everything I found didn't work. I found the Office 365 doesn't have this problem, but couldn't get 365 to install on this machine. The Office 365 I have access to has no connection to the domain the station is in. Another problem I ran into on this station, we are pushing Outlook signature via VBS script from a login script. For some reason, this station does not put the name and title of the employee in the signature. Do you have any ideas? I'm really not sure what's going on here. Now, if anybody can help me out, let me know. Maybe it's time to back up the data on this and do a reinstall of Windows 10 and get it to the latest, greatest Windows 10. Lay Office down from scratch and then do all the updates for Office and then see what happens. I hate to recommend nuke and pave for a solution, but what you're describing, there could be an issue. As a matter of fact, we had one of those engineering systems that we were having trouble with was a very high-end system that had Windows 7 on it, and USB ports didn't work, and we were having all kinds of problems. I put Windows 10 Pro on it from scratch. It's a thing of beauty. It is running perfectly. All the USB ports worked. It was a corrupted Windows 7. Usually don't recommend nuke and pave, but on this case, I think you should. And then let me know what happens. The last topic for tonight's show, I know two individuals whose companies, they went out of business, who do tech support because of the following model. They had all you can eat for a monthly fee for tech support for residential. And I remember way back, both of these individuals that I talked, that I said, you are going to go out of business. You are not going to be able to make money. You are not going to be happy. This is not a good business model. Now, it may be a model that's right for some companies because they got the support staff. They already have other streams of revenue coming in from different ways, and they might be able to offer some all-you-can-eat tech support. Now, all-you-can-eat tech support means they can call anytime they want. And he's like, well, no. They gave me all the arguments in the world. Well, you know what? They're both out of business now. The one person, I'm helping to try to find another job. And the other one went back to the corporate world and is working. So this is two people that had companies that I warned them ahead of time, and they didn't listen. Now, this is going to stir a debate from some of the independent repair people and technicians that listen to my show. And I encourage that, because convince me that you have a successful model of all you can eat, that they can call anytime for a lump sum fee. There's no way. A, I don't have the bandwidth. If everybody called, it's like selling the gym memberships and everybody shows up one day. You can't do it. So one of the things that I'm making sure is that I bill hourly for everything. I don't bill by project. Does that make it possible for me to not get some business? Yes, it does. Because there are some people, there are clients that are, there are opportunities that I must walk away from because they want a guaranteed project number. I can't do that. I'm not going to bill the project. I'm going to bill per hour, estimate how many hours I think. And I work diligently, and I'm my own enemy when it comes to hours like that. And I know some people don't realize that, but I do. When my retainer clients, I definitely always give them breaks on when it comes to time. I have one client that was just break fix per hour, and he's seen that and realized it, came to me a few weeks ago and say, Mike, can you give me a contract to put me on retainer? I said, absolutely. And we went forward and put that together for just a few hours a month, and it flattens their IT support. But all you can eat, you can get killed. And not only that, if you don't have the manpower, and then how are you going to afford to pay the manpower to be able to do the coverage? Yes, it's remote, but how are you going to have any free time if you're working by yourself? That's another problem. spreading yourself too thin across your clients and you got no backup or no other support to take on helping clients. How are you going to go away? How are you going to have a life? And if you can't have a life, you're going to be unhappy and you're going to want to fold up anyway and go back to the corporate world where you can get a vacation. I was faced with this, even though I didn't offer all you can eat. I was burning the candle at both ends, working like a dog, and it was myself and there was nobody else. That's when I had to get someone to help, or I would have been out of business because I just wouldn't be able to do it anymore. I have to have a life. You see, if you follow me on Facebook, I occasionally travel. I just traveled last weekend because it was my son Michael Jr.'s 36th birthday on Sunday. So Friday night, we had scheduled, I took him away for the weekend to Atlantic City, and we ate at some really nice places because he has been busting his butt for me, especially while I've been having this foot and trying to mend this and work with this. He's been going over and above, working his butt, and he needed a reward. And so I was able to take him away for the weekend. And not only did we eat good on Sunday on our way back, I even detoured all the way down into Delaware for a great ramen place. Those are the things that's more than money that I know when I was in the corporate world and managing people makes a difference, makes a happier employee. That's what you have to do. These are just thoughts and things that you have to think about when you're about to embark working for yourself. And there's things you got to consider. You have to have a life. You have to be able to make money. And if your client won't let you make enough money, walk away and get a client that will. The client should not run your business. You run your business. Now, you take care of your client, you support your client, and you do everything you can, and you make sure they're the most important thing. But make sure you have a model that's going to make money. Now, early on, I realized break fix. For me, since I don't have a storefront, I could not make a living. And I had to quickly transition to having contracts for ongoing support, or I'd be back in the corporate world. I learned that at a very early time. And as a matter of fact, it was Carrie Holzman who was very instrumental in getting me to think about that and actually execute. Great segue wrapping up. Carrie wants to do a Tech Vets before the end of the year. I promise we will. Stay tuned. I absolutely want to do one. We will do one before the end of the year, whatever it takes. I'll tell you, I would like to do it before Christmas. If not, it'll be between Christmas and New Year's, but let's shoot maybe for next week. You know, I will really try to do a show. One other thing, there's going to be a link for TechCon Unplugged. It's September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. A link is in the show notes so you can sign up. Details will be forthcoming. I will be absolutely participating. Let's hope I don't have a boot on, but if I do, I still will be there. There's a new link in the show notes because we have not been seeing the Amazon results that I used to see and that Carrie used to see. So I had Carrie build a new link and it's going to be in the show notes. If you are buying from Amazon, please use our link. A small commission comes back to support the show. Your price remains the same. And we know you're going to buy from Amazon. Click on that link. And during that session, it's going to bring you to the main Amazon screen. During that session, do all your Christmas shopping. And anytime you go back to Amazon, use that link. And we will get credit. And it will be a huge help to Carrie Holzman and I. And we greatly appreciate that. And right before the show, my Amazon Echo, a little yellow ring came up and started beeping. That means a delivery came tonight and it was supposed to be delivered tomorrow. And right before the show started, I went to the front door. There was my Amazon package. I have embraced the Amazon ecosystem. The Echo is up in my bedroom. I have a couple dots around the house and I just love it. And little things like that. And then tying my XM radio account, tying my son Ryan's Spotify account to the our and link it to the Amazon, linking it to my Verizon Fios so I can talk to Alexa and change channels. I'm giving you some Christmas ideas. If you have someone that's on your geek tech Christmas list and they're not part of the Amazon ecosystem, that's a great thing. You can have a lot of fun and play different games and do things. Embrace it. It is fun. I kind of was dragged into it kicking and screaming. I just got it just to, oh, what's all the hubbub about and everything. But I've started to embrace it and actually use it. So definitely check that out. Also, Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro. Love it. You got to give that a try for transferring any of your system settings from a client or yourself to another system or one operating system to another. This has been a godsend moving from Windows 7, those engineers, to Windows 10. It's been great. It's making life really easy in doing that transition. Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Download the free trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. God willing, I'll see everybody here next Thursday night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.